You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show first aired March 22, 2024. While record-high rents have been a recurring headline across the country over the past years, demands for social services such as food banks and housing have continued to rise alongside the cost of shelter. The March Rentals.ca report shows average rental prices 10.5% higher since last March, and up $384 a month, or 20%, since March 2022. In Kitchener, monthly rent for a one-bedroom has been flopping on either side of $1,924 a month for several months now, and in Waterloo, the average price for a one-bedroom is $2,027 a month, another 1.5% higher than February, and 14.2% higher than March 2023. Little support has been offered by the current Ontario Conservative government to tackle surging rent prices, and some critics argue prices are up so much in part because Ford eliminated some rent control measures in 2018. That move by Ford reversed the legislation the Liberals implemented in 2016 that had reintroduced some rent and vacancy controls that the Mike Harris Conservatives eliminated in 1996. Now, in response to the ongoing cost of housing crisis, Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP Ashlyn Clancy introduced the Keeping People Housed Act, which she says will, quote, deliver real relief for Ontario renters, unquote, by reintroducing rent and vacancy controls on all rental units, creating better regulations for renovictions, implementing rules for replacing any losses of affordable housing units, and establishing a task force to report on above-guideline rent increases. This show features interviews with Jennifer Breeton, the CEO of YWKW, and MPP Clancy. Both women discuss the effects of high rental prices on women and gender-diverse folks across the region and province, and what can be done to address structural and systemic problems related to housing. MPP Clancy also discusses her proposed legislation, and Jennifer Breeton talks about the work on housing the YWKW does in the region, which includes providing emergency, supportive, and affordable housing programs to help women and gender-diverse individuals and their kids. First, we will hear from Jennifer Breeton of the YWKW. She introduces herself and some of the work the YWKW does, and expands on some of the effects that high housing costs have on women and gender-diverse people.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Breeton. I'm the CEO of the YW in Kitchener-Waterloo. The YW has a long-standing history of supporting vulnerable women, children, and families in Waterloo region. And we are the operators of affordable and supportive housing programs across Kitchener and Waterloo for women and their children. We also operate at present the only emergency shelter for women experiencing homelessness in our region. I think the skyrocketing rental prices that we're seeing in Waterloo region have incredibly difficult impacts, particularly on women and children. Higher rents often mean that women who are often mothers, often single mothers, have to make hard choices. They might choose to stay in situations perhaps that aren't safe or where they may experience violence because they're very fearful of being able to secure a place to live. Higher rents also mean that women sometimes make choices for themselves and their children where they're really underhoused. So you might think that women will get an apartment and they're going to sleep on the couch because they would give the bedroom to their children. Often women and gender diverse people often have to make really hard choices. So thinking about paying bills or buying food for themselves and their families. We hear stories time and time again of women being forced to make choices where they put themselves last. So their kids are getting food, their rent is getting paid. But again, they might be sleeping on a couch or staying in situations that certainly aren't in their best interest or safe for themselves or their families.
So it's even before coming to you for services, people are being impacted across the board.
We see that time and time again. By the time women come for service, they've exhausted so many means all of their social circles, all of the supports that they can draw from. And I think the rental market that we're working within is just putting so much additional pressure, again, on women and families.
Has there been an increase in demand for your services as housing and rental prices continue to climb?
I think most social service agencies, the food bank, housing providers, those of us who work supporting vulnerable individuals in Waterloo Region would all say we've seen a market increase in the last 2 years for those who are seeking support. We're really sitting in a perfect storm right now. Inflation, the incredible cost of housing, a lack of supply of housing has all really, I think, culminated in just an incredible increase for demand. Absolutely.
And is there a difference in your organization between like housing numbers and supportive housing numbers of people that you've been helping?
I think the need is there consistently across the continuum. You know, one of the areas we've really seen a market rise is in the number of families who are coming to us for support. Families are really feeling, I think, the increase pressures. And we see a market increase in the number of families who are coming to us experiencing homelessness.
Do you feel the programs that you are running are successful in meeting their goals?
The YW is very proud of the work that we do and the supports we have in place. I think like many other social service organizations, the answers or the responses that we hear from the community that we support is yes and more, please. So absolutely. I think now as we move through 2024, we see the complexities of the spaces that we're working within with these increased rental costs, the increased needs of families we support. We really, I think, needs all of community response.
What would you like to see from local, provincial and federal governments to tackle housing costs and to support women, especially those who are experiencing precarity in housing?
We work alongside governments and policymakers and are always encouraging them to take a gendered lens and a lens that considers housing whenever we're making any policy decision.
Do you see any systemic issues that need to be resolved before it's possible to lessen the needs for your services?
Again, I think the YW has long been an equity-serving organization that really focuses on women and the unique needs of women, gender diverse individuals and their families. And our response is really to looking at how do we build more safe housing with a gendered lens, a community that really creates safe spaces for women, thinking about how we can reduce gender-based violence, and really looking at a holistic approach required to support vulnerable women in our community. So I think really taking that holistic lens, applying a gendered lens to building more housing, always thinking about the needs of vulnerable women and families and community. It has to go hand in hand with building as much new, accessible, affordable housing as possible.
What will the YWKW be up to in the next few months?
I think the YWKW is well positioned in the coming year to really take a good hard look at the needs of the communities that we serve in order to ensure that the services we are providing meet those needs. I think as we see growing need in community, we also see an increase in complexity in the supports that women and families need. So we're really committed to taking a good look at the work that we do, listening to the voices of the clients we support, and perhaps even those who aren't coming to us for support, to ensure we can maximize our reach.
And now we hear from Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP, Ashlyn Clancy.
What are some of the effects of high housing costs on your constituents in Kitchener and Ontarians across the province?
There's so many layers to this. You know, I don't want to oversimplify things into supply and demand, but I know this has been a problem that's been a while in the making, but it's definitely hit a peak in the last few years. I mean, in Kitchener, what I notice when I'm going door to door is young people, can't get ahead, for example. And they're saying, you know, I live in this building, my landlord can up the rents as much as they want. So sometimes I have to move because I can't afford where I'm living anymore because of the removal of rent control. Or I have to pick a place where I'm underhoused or in inadequate housing. Like now I can't have my own place, or I move back in with my parents. With seniors, like I know I had a group here that said their building has just cut. And so now they're not cleaning the place anymore. They're not repairing the place anymore. And then they use above guideline increases whenever there is a repair that's needed. And all of that falls on the renter. And they're, so it means that they're choosing between food and rent a lot of times, right? Or people, we've seen explosion of homelessness in my city. You know, now we're about 1,200 people who are living unsheltered, and that ends up on property taxes. So there's a real domino effect when we constantly undermine supply with like lack of regulations around renting and Airbnbs, for example, that chew up supply. It's negative supply. And then we have, I would say the Wild West when it comes to tenant protections. There's really no accountability. And so it just means that there's a big incentive to evict legacy tenants or people who are paying affordable rents, which is not the kind of Ontario that I feel I want to live in. We need to take care of all of our citizens.
So you have tabled the Keeping People Housed Act, which you claim will deliver real relief for Ontario's renters if it is passed. Can you tell me how it will deliver?
Well, a lot of the incentives around rent evictions is to displace people so that they can jack up the rent. So when vacancy controls were removed decades ago in the Mike Harris days, that meant that anybody who leaves, you can up the rent. So now with rents going so high, if you get rid of somebody who's on ODSP and they're paying $900 and you kick them out illegally, you have a lot to gain. So the vacancy controls are important, where you can only raise the rents by a certain amount that's more reasonable. So there's less incentive to evict people by any means necessary. It would bring back rent controls because people living in units built after 2018 have zero protection. So we had a story in the newspaper where a family from Syria who was paying $1,700 for their three bedroom, the landlord wanted them out, so up the rents to $4,000, right? So the next is eviction control. So, you know, we know that I think it's 90% of the housing that's affordable was built between the 60s and 90s. So we have this massive supply issue where all these older buildings which are supply in our city, affordable units, you know, sometimes they can be demolished, and then, you know, a new build wouldn't have those same protections. So we're just, they call it rental replacement. We're asking that if anything over five units of affordable rents, that they be included in the new project. So those affordable rents are replaced. Because I think in my city, the quote was for every affordable unit we build, we lose 39. And I know in across Canada, for every affordable unit that's built, there's 15 lost. So we're just not building it as fast as we're losing it. And that's causing a whole cascade of effects. There's going to be a rental registry. So just building transparency for landlords where they have to register how much people pay in rent, who they are, how to contact them. You know, I've had a lot of tenants who don't even know who their landlord is. They don't know who to call. It's a numbered company. So trying to collect data and have that protection there. And then a tenant rental task force, because in the past few years, I think above guideline increases have gone up by 300%. So these are corporate landlords often who don't want to pay for the cost of putting in a new boiler or HVAC system. So just making sure we have a committee that can look into this practice and bring a report back to the ministry.
With tabling this, what has been the response from other parties?
You know what? All of a sudden, everybody's talking about housing, which makes me happy. You know, I've seen Liberals putting forth actions. I've seen questions in question period. So I think it's sparked a lot of enthusiasm. One of the aims of this is just to raise more awareness around the realities of renting right now in Ontario and to get the political will to support improvements.
Speaking with local organizations which provide housing for youth and women specifically, they have mentioned added stressors when seeking and maintaining safe, affordable shelter. How will the Keeping People Housed Act address these concerns?
Keeping people housed means that we aren't flooding an already saturated housing support shelter system, right? So as people, young people and women and many and seniors, you know, we're seeing lots of seniors losing their housing. They end up in a full shelter system. We don't have enough beds, period. You know, I'm glad it was a milder winter because, you know, there was very little space on those cold days. I know it's making people more vulnerable. You know, folks I talk to, I'm a social worker by trade, and folks I talk to say, you know, this means families have to live in shared accommodations, which can be risky. You know, they can't find anywhere. They have to move away from their support systems to other cities because they can't afford to stay here. So you're uprooting children, you're separating them from their friends and family and support network. And we all know that that's really what you need in those times of struggle is your friends and family and support systems in the not-for-profit and so on. So there's many ways in which our vulnerable populations, like young people, seniors, women, racialized folks, folks with mental health and addiction challenges, aren't being met in terms of basic housing needs. Yeah.
Was there anything else you feel is important about this that we haven't discussed?
Sometimes landlords are concerned that this is an anti-landlord bill. I don't think it is. You know, the majority of landlords understand the rights and responsibilities of owning and providing housing. It really is working to clean up the bad actors. You know, we know that Airbnbs, for every 1% increase in Airbnbs, rents go up 2.5%. I'm also concerned about our LTBs, like the changes that have happened since the pandemic to clean it up have actually made things worse. And we also know that it's being overused for the wrong kind of things. So by changing policies, it would clean up LTB and make it less likely that a bad acting landlord would go through that process, because we know it's not working. I think since 2020, only 14 landlords have been fined for illegal evictions. And of those, only 4 have paid fines of about $5,000. So we know that it's not working. We know it's ineffective. And so my hope is that by creating policies that, you know, prevent some of this bad acting, it would like alleviate some of the stress on the LTB. But we also know we have to do better at LTB because landlords and tenants can't get served quickly and properly. And so it needs an overhaul.
You have been listening to interviews with Kitchener Centre Green Party MPP Aislinn Clancy and YWKW CEO Jennifer Breeton. Both women discussed the effects of high rental prices on women and gender-diverse folks across the region and province, and what can be done to address structural and systemic problems related to housing. While Breeton also highlighted the work around housing the YWKW does in the region, MPP Clancy discussed her newly tabled Keeping People Housed Act, which passed first reading in early March. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in.
This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.